You guys can be seated. Thank you. I'm just going to pray real quick. Abba, Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for that beautiful time of worship. Thank you for this gathering of your people. And I just say, Lord, here am I. Touch my lips and may you speak through me, Father. We love you. We want to honor you in all that we say and do. In Yeshua's name, amen. All right, we are in 1 Samuel 15 this morning. And, excuse me, I'm sorry, I don't have any slides, but I'm going to start out just reading verse 1. Samuel, the prophet, is giving instruction to King Saul. He says, Yahweh sent me to anoint you as king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, listen to the voice of the words of Yahweh. I just love that phrasing. Listen to the voice of the words. Like, listen to this. The spirit of this, not just the words themselves, but listen to what's behind them. Verse 2, thus says Yahweh Zebaot, the Lord of hosts, I remember what Amalek did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming up from Egypt. Now go and strike down Amalek and put all he has under the ban of destruction, so have no pity on him, but kill both men and women, children and nursing infants, oxen and sheep, camels and donkeys. So the instructions here were very clear, and Samuel delivered this message to Saul. And as I read through this, I was like, well, what is the tie-in of the Torah portion? That's always one of my biggest questions. Why did they choose this to tie into this Torah portion? I don't know for sure, but my thought is that right now in the Torah, Moses is on the mountain, and he's getting very clear instructions from the Lord on how to build the tabernacle, right? We know that, or I believe God showed him a picture because it says, you know, like I showed you on the mountain. And so he has this image. He has a, I don't know how God downloaded it to him. But he then relays that to the builders, to those skilled craftsmen and things. And so that's, for me, the tie-in is this idea of God, when God gives us an instruction. And I want to make a delineation between when we just feel led to do something, when we, you know, just choose to do something. That's different than when God says, hey, here's an instruction and I want you to do this and that. So keep that in mind as we talk. So what did Saul end up doing? The first thing he did, he separated out the Canaanites from the Amalekites. He gave them a warning. Hey, we're going to destroy them. You need to get away because you're not a part of them. And he wanted to honor the people who had been with the Israelites in the desert. The Canaanites were who Moses' father-in-law had come from. They were a people that were not part of the instruction to be destroyed. So that was a good thing. Saul did that. He spared them, and that was a good thing, and that wasn't part of the instruction from the Lord. But then, in verse 8, it comes to the part about Amalek. And it said, he captured the king Agag of Amalek and let him live. Sorry, he captured King Agag of Amalek alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag as well as the best of the sheep, the cattle, even the fatlings and the lambs, and all that was good, since they were not willing to utterly destroy them. Everything that was worthless and feeble, they destroyed completely. So in this, the heart of the instruction, Saul relied on his own understanding. He spared the best animals and even the king. Which, what does the king even represent in this situation? I mean, just think about that. He destroyed only that which was worthless and feeble. Which, to me, is just such a picture of what we do as humans, right? We make those kind of split judgments every single day. Like, oh, this is valuable, this is not, this is useful to me, this I have, you know, it's just going to clutter up my life or whatever, you know, and that's fine. God gives us that kind of discernment. But in this situation, God had told him what to do. And Saul chose the things that had no value to him, but he ignored what was important to God. He ignored what was important to God in this, thinking his plan would be better. Can anyone relate to that? Have you ever done that? Okay, I know you've said that, God, but you don't understand what I have plans for these animals. I'm going to do something awesome. Oh. And we're going to see that later on when Samuel talks to Saul. He gives that excuse. Well, but I was going to keep these animals, give them to the people so we could make sacrifices to you, God. I had a good plan for them. Does that sound like anything else that we hear about in Scripture that we're going to read about pretty soon in the Torah portion? It's the golden, same idea as the golden calf. They weren't honoring their gods in Egypt. They built the golden calf to honor the God who brought them out of Egypt. But his ways are not our ways. And when will we ever learn that? He doesn't operate on our level. We must learn to operate on his. And so what happened to Saul? If we kind of skip ahead, verses 17 through 19. Samuel said, "Isn't it true, though, that you were insignificant in your own eyes, that you were made head of the tribes of Israel? Yahweh anointed you king over Israel. You were just a nothing, and you rose to the highest position in all of Israel. Then Yahweh sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the Amalekites, the sinners, and wage war against them until you annihilate them.' Why then did you not obey the voice of Yahweh, but rushed greedily onto the spoil, doing what was evil in his eyes?" And Saul says, "I did obey the voice of Yahweh. I went on a mission on which Yahweh sent me and brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites," except for the king. "But the people took some of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best of what was under the ban of destruction, to sacrifice to Yahweh your God in Gilgal." And I love how he changes that. Not Yahweh my God. Yes, hey, we did this for your God, right? So he's trying to appease Samuel now too. So how do we do this, right? How do we deceive ourselves into thinking that we're doing the Lord's will? Have we ever done that? Ever been caught up in something and saying, "But I was doing this for God. How could it have been wrong?" Right? We reason it out. We believe half the truths. And we think partial obedience is okay. It's enough. Now, I'm not saying that when we are learning to follow God that our incomplete or our imperfect obedience. That is not what I'm talking about here. It's, again, when God has given us a clear instruction and we say, "Yes, sir, we will do that," but then we don't, or we do it in our own way. That's the kind of partial obedience I'm talking about here. This is our downfall, relying on our own understanding. If we look ahead at verse 23, Samuel tells Saul, "You have rejected Yahweh's word, and he has also rejected you as king." Do you think Saul ever thought in all of this that he was rejecting the word of Yahweh? I think he was probably pretty pleased with himself. I think he thought, "I have done an awesome job. Like, I spared the Kenites, I killed all the people, and we even have some amazing animals to add to our flocks and our herds for the priests back home," right? I believe in his heart he thought he was honoring God. But Samuel said that you have rejected him. And I think that should pierce our hearts, because I don't believe any of us ever want to reject the word of God in our lives, but we do it. And it's so easy to do. Go to verse 22. Samuel said, "Does Yahweh delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to pay heed than the fat of rams." So just this idea that, oh, I can cover over this because I kept these animals to sacrifice. So God, it's fine, right? And God's like, "No, I just wanted you to do the right thing the first time." And if anybody is a parent in here, you understand that sentiment for sure, right? You don't want your kids to go make it right later. You just want them to do it right the first time. You know, even if their heart's in the right place, even if they're trying to do something sweet for you, to please you, you want them to follow out your instruction. And that's the same here. He doesn't delight in just bringing these animals to him. He delights in that we are in one accord and in tune with his word and his spirit. Saul repents. He wants to just move on. "Oh, yeah, I messed up. Okay, verse 24, I've sinned. I have transgressed against the word of Yahweh and your words because I feared the people and I listened to their voice." So at least, again, he acknowledges what he did here, that, "Yeah, I did it for the people. They wanted those things, and I gave it because I wanted to appease them. That's what kings do. But, you know, please pardon my sin. Return with me, and I'll worship God. We'll just put this behind us. You're the prophet of Israel. Come with me." We'll smooth it over with the Lord. It'll be fine. And Samuel says to Saul, I will not return with you. You have rejected the word of Yahweh, and Yahweh has rejected you as king over Israel. This proved to be his downfall. And again, you rejected the word of Yahweh, and Yahweh rejected him. Those are some heavy repercussions for sure. When the Lord gives you a clear instruction, do you follow it completely? Or do you say, thanks, God, I'll take it from here? I just know, yeah, that is the inclination of our hearts, right? And yet, how do we mature? How do we grow? How do we become that servant who says, you know what? Yes, Lord, what you want, not what I want. Ultimately, Samuel is the one who ended up killing King Agag. It says Samuel cut Agag into pieces before Yahweh in Gilgal. So instead of offering these animals, Samuel had to put a man to death in that place of worship, which is ultimately considered an act of worship because it was his obedience in following through with God's plan. And so when we don't do it, God sends somebody else. And that's what a sad thing to miss out on, getting to honor our God and getting to be the one who he says, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm at a season I'm asking to hear God's instruction in my life. I believe it's okay to trust your instincts and follow your leading, but when God gives you something clear, do you follow it completely? And are you committed to God's results or your own? Are you concerned with what you will get from it or accomplishing God's will on this earth? God doesn't need us. He can do it without us. He chooses to partner with us. He chooses us to labor alongside him. Do we see what an honor that is? Do we recognize just how profound that is, that he would use us? And yet we get caught up in our own self saying, oh, he chose me because he knows I know the best way to do things, or I'm going to do it this way. And it's like, no, he chose you because he needed a human who was breathing and living and walking on this earth to do something, to glorify him. And so as I read this, I just realize how much more I need to be emptied out to be his vessel. It's not me. It's not my talent. It's not anything I bring to the equation. It's, wow, God, I would have done it this way, but you're telling me to do it this way. Do I care more about that, or do I care about getting the glory and the honor for myself, or pleasing the people and having them like me, having them happy with how I'm, you know, leading, or whatever the case might be? Do we want to accomplish God's will on this earth? And it just brought me back to Moses. If Moses hadn't followed the instructions completely for completing the tabernacle, it means the presence of God couldn't have dwelt among the children of Israel. If Solomon had not completed the instructions for the temple, God's glory wouldn't have gone out from Zion. I mean, just think about that for a minute, how profound those things are. When God gives us an instruction, how easy is it for us to just dismiss its impact or how important it'll be for his kingdom? And yet, if we can just humble ourselves and do the job his way, we have no idea how lasting those impacts can be, how God will further his kingdom through those efforts. So I just want to encourage all of us today, don't dismiss the instructions God gives you. Don't ever think they're trivial, because you never know what he's building and how he's going to use you to build it. So that's all I have for today. Thank you, guys.